This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 31st, 2018. Coming up this hour.
President Trump's tough talk on trade takes aim at Europe.
The European Union is almost as bad as China.
The president also threatens to withdraw from the World Trade Organization.
I would say the WTO was the single worst trade deal ever made.
Stay tuned for a wide-ranging exclusive interview with President Trump.
It's now Washington's turn to mourn the loss of the late Senator John McCain, plus a horrible passenger bus crash in New Mexico has left several dead. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, tough day locally on the New York sports scene, an even tougher day at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little change to lower this morning. European stocks are moving lower as President Trump steps up his tough talk on trade. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 2 points. Dow futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.7%. FTSE 100 down 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little changed. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.33% or 23 cents to $70.03 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7 to $12.12 an ounce. The euro $1.1669. The yen 110.77. Bob.
Our focus this morning, remarks from President Trump. He sat down for an exclusive Oval Office interview with Bloomberg, covering topics from the Russia probe to trade. When it comes to trade talks with the European Union, Mr. Trump says the EU's offer to scrap tariffs on U.S. cars isn't enough.
It's not good enough, no.
Not good enough, why?
No, because they do a lot more auto business than we will ever do. In other words, well, first of all, it's not just tariffs. They also have barriers up to our cars. They'll take the barriers down. And they'll charge us no tax, but it's not good enough because they will always sell more cars. Their cars, their habits, their consumer habits are to buying their cars, not to buying our cars.
In response, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says the EU will retaliate if President Trump raises tariffs on European autos.
The president also threatens to pull out of the World Trade Organization if it doesn't start treating the U.S. better. He spoke with Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite.
He said, I think the WTO was even worse than NAFTA. And I think the fact that he immediately rejected the offer from the Europeans is interesting. He just said, you know, I want a much broader deal than that. Well, I think many Europeans thought this was a sort of big concession by them.
Meanwhile, trade talks with Canada continue in Washington today. Sources tell Bloomberg a preliminary agreement could be announced before today's deadline, but there are still many issues that remain unresolved.
President Trump also doesn't think China will outlast the U.S. in their trade dispute and says his administration is reexamining how to determine whether countries are manipulating their currencies.
It is a formula, and we are looking very strongly at the formula. As you look, as you see what's gone, you know, with the yuan, it's gone, you know, it's they're trying to make up for lack of business by cutting their currency. It's no good. You can't do that.
Sources tell us the president also wants to move ahead with a plan to impose tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods as soon as public comment concludes next week.
President Trump is also considering plans that could cut bills for investors on Wall Street. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. In our wide-ranging Oval Office interview, the president said he's considering a tax break on capital gains by issuing a regulation that would index gains to inflation.
Thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
Lean towards liking
it? Well, no, I just, there are a lot of people that love it. There's some people that don't. But I'm thinking about it very strongly.
The capital gains change would slash tax bills for investors when selling assets such as stock or real estate by adjusting the original purchase price for inflation. The change has been a longtime goal of Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, who says the policy would spur job creation and economic growth. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
Thank you, John. The president, meantime, says he doesn't regret appointing Jay Powell as chairman of the Federal Reserve. He has criticized Powell for raising interest rates, but still says he likes and respects him.
Mr. Trump also weighed in on the legal turmoil facing his presidency, saying Democrats would set a dangerous precedent if they tried to impeach him. The president also says he's doing too good of a job on the economy and foreign policy to face the threat of impeachment.
He also blasted Attorney General Jeff Sessions for failing to rein in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe. At the same time, Mr. Trump confirmed that Sessions' job is safe until November's midterm elections.
And we'll have more on our exclusive Oval Office interview with President Trump throughout the morning on Bloomberg Radio and Television. But first, let's catch you up on some of the other stories we're watching.
Argentina's currency crisis shows no signs of slowing after yesterday's emergency interest rate increase failed to stem outflows from the country. Bloomberg's Carolina Milan reports from Buenos Aires.
The government is going to be releasing plans of how they will be addressing cuts to the fiscal deficit on Monday. Investors have been very anxious to hear more news about how exactly the government is going to tackle its fiscal deficit and finish its financing plan. The next thing to keep in the radar are budget negotiations, and those talks will begin in September.
The Argentinian peso has been in free fall. It weakened by 13% yesterday and is down more than 50% against the dollar so far this year.
Turkey's currency is stronger after the government raised taxes on dollar deposit. That makes it more attractive for investors to put money into the local currency. Checking the Turkish lira now, it is stronger by 1.4%. It's trading at 6.5652 against the dollar.
Those assets declines in Turkey and Argentina are sparking fears of global contagion. Indonesia's currency has slid to its lowest level since 1998. In India, the rupee is set for its biggest monthly drop in 3 years. It's reached a record low. The MSCI Emerging Market Index of Currencies, down more than 2% in August, headed for its fifth monthly loss.
And Coca-Cola has agreed to buy the UK chain Costa Coffee for what, $5.1 billion. The move gives Coke its first global coffee brand and comes as demand for soft drinks wanes. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:07 on Wall Street's farewell to an American hero. Bloomberg's Michael Barr now on Washington's tribute to John McCain.
Thank you very much, Bob. The Arizona senator's funeral procession shifts to the nation's capital, where he'll lie in state under the Capitol Rotunda today. Vice President Mike Pence is expected to speak at a ceremony before members of the public will be allowed to file past. Yesterday, a celebration of the life of McCain took place at North Phoenix Baptist Church. Former Vice President Joe Biden attended the tribute.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democrat. And I love John McCain.
The memorial service was attended by about 3,500 people. Authorities say at least seven people were killed and others were seriously injured in a head-on crash involving a commercial passenger bus and a semi-truck along Interstate 40 in New Mexico near the Arizona border. President Trump has urged Indiana Republicans to unseat Senator Joe Donnelly, saying the vulnerable Democrat is not going to vote for us on anything. Trump also took a jab at social media and search engines, claiming they rigged their sites for negative stories on himself and other conservatives.
That we as a country cannot tolerate political censorship, blacklisting, and rigged search results. And you know, it can go the other way also.
Trump appeared in Evansville last night to boost support for Senator Donnelly's opponent, Republican Mike Braun. Fitch Ratings will issue a review of Italy's sovereign credit rating today. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Bolzano, Italy.
The Fitch credit rating review will include an assessment of the spending plans of the populist government. Leaders in Rome have been sending mixed signals about their budget program. That has made markets nervous while increasing the yield spread with German bonds. The concerns about Italy's outlook will also be addressed by Fitch. In Bolzano, Italy, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey will raise its per-gallon gasoline and diesel tax by 20% to help cover the $2 billion a year the state needs for transportation projects. The 4.3% per-gallon increase to 26.9 cents will go into effect on October 1st. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And happy Friday, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Tough way for the Yankees to go down to Detroit, 8-7 at the stadium. Beaten at their own game as the Tigers went deep five times, overshadowing home runs from Giancarlo Stanton and Gleyber Torres. And starter Francisco Liriano got off the hook as he had a subpar game, allowing five runs and four and a third innings. Jay Happ, not much better for the Yankees, also going four and a third and allowing five runs, too. New York still in command of the wild card, 4.5 up on Oakland. Series continues tonight when Jordan Zimmermann faces Luis Severino. Mets were off Thursday. They're setting up shop in San Francisco for the weekend. Zach Wheeler goes against his former team when he faces the Giants' Andrew Suarez. NFL, a pair of losses locally as the preseason drew to a close at MetLife. Patriots beat the Giants 17-12. Coach Pat Shurmur realizes it's week four, but knows they still have a job to do.
So there's plenty of things to learn from, and like I just told the team, I said any mistake that we made tonight may show up, I don't know, 3 weeks from now in Houston or 2 weeks from now in Dallas.
Giants finish the preseason 2-2. They'll open at home against Jacksonville. Things not much better for the Jets, edged by the Eagles 10-9 in Philadelphia. Eagles QB and former Jet Christian Hackenberg was on the run so much he led the Eagles in rushing, averaging 13 yards an attempt. Sam Darnold didn't play for the Jets as he's the projected opening day starter. Jets open in Detroit on Monday Night Football. In tennis, U.S. Open, big upset as Lucia Cerenko ousts second seed Carolyn Wozniacki, which means less than a weekend, both the top two seeds are done on the ladies' side. Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic both moved on the men's side. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Please join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. Just in time for the football season, we talked to the owner of the Atlanta Hawks and co-founder of Home Depot, Arthur Blank. You can hear it tonight at 8 and tomorrow morning at 11 on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast. That would be the Falcons. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Willoughby since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro Action Adventure cameras, Willoughby's corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling and U.S. stock index futures are now little changed following a downbeat session in Asia after President Trump stepped up his tough talk on trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down a point, Dow futures down 15, NASDAQ futures again little changed. DAX in Germany is down 1%, 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.84%, yield on the 2-year 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 20 cents to $70.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $6.90 to $12.1190 an ounce. The euro, $1.1666, and the yen, 110.82. Today, we're looking for a report on consumer sentiment out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And we'll be watching shares of Integrated Devices Technology this morning. Nikkei reporting that it's in final talks to be purchased by Japan's Renesas for about $6 billion. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Today is Aretha Franklin's final send-off. Speakers at the funeral in Detroit include former President Bill Clinton and the Reverend Jesse Jackson. The late Senator John McCain will lie in state under the Capitol Rotunda in Washington today. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the A's, the Red Sox won. NFL preseason is done. In the final games last night, the Giants lost to the Patriots. The Jets lost along with the 49ers. The Redskins down the Ravens. The Raiders were winners. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, and Marin Cilic advanced. Today, Rafael Nadal and Juan Martín del Potro play their matches. For the women, Maria Sharapova advanced, but the number two seed, Caroline Wozniacki, lost. Today, Sloane Stephens faces Victoria Azarenka. The Williams sisters, Serena and Venus, play tonight. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Now 5:19 on Wall Street. We are bringing you highlights all morning from our exclusive Oval Office interview with President Trump. It was a wide-ranging conversation covering trade concerns with the EU and China, his criticism of interest rate hikes from the Fed, and the legal turmoil engulfing his presidency. He also blasted Attorney General Jeff Sessions, failing to rein in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe.
I'd just like to have Jeff Sessions do his job, and if he did, I'd be very happy. But the job entails two sides, not one side.
Let's get more on that and many other items from our exclusive interview with the president with Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning. Welcome. So he calls the Russia probe illegal, but the president is going to keep his attorney general until the midterm election, which I take it pretty much means Mr. Sessions is gone by November 7th.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has job security until the midterms, and it comes following top Republicans on Capitol Hill saying within the last week that they would be able to have time for new confirmation hearings after the midterm elections and in January. So a new timetable from that exclusive interview with President Trump and Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite. Elsewhere, though, a lot of economic headlines as well.
Economic headlines such as?
Well, the president criticizing the World Trade Organization, saying that he would be willing to pull out of it unless there's a better type of World Trade Organization. This is in line with more of the populist rhetoric that we've seen from the Trump administration. It also comes as he made some interesting headlines on the capital gains tax. And it comes as he says that he has $200 billion worth of new tariffs ready to be imposed against China within the coming weeks. So some tough talk on trade. In addition to the World Trade Organization, the president making news with regards to auto tariffs, the president not accepting a deal from Germany, which said they wanted to get rid, which offered essentially what was perceived as a tariff olive branch of sorts with regards to getting rid of car tariffs. The president says that's not good enough. The president says that that would not have the best deal for U.S. workers. So some interesting tough talk on trade. And finally, if that all that wasn't enough, the president also says that there's the potential for a breakthrough, whether it's a multilateral or a trilateral deal on NAFTA renegotiations.
Let me steer you back to some of the president's legal problems. We know what the president knew about his attorney's payment to the porn star. We just don't know when he knew it. And why is that latter question so important?
Well, when he knew it is a very important question, because it would specifically be tied to the timeline in the sense of potential legal headaches for, especially if he was acting as a nominee of the Republican Party, and how he paid for it. He says he paid for it out of his personal account, not through campaign finance reform or campaign finance accounts. So, you know, all of this very much ongoing. And of course, no one truly knows when Bob Mueller will conclude his investigation and release his report.
And the president, as far as impeachment goes, says, hey, I can't be impeached because I'm doing too great of a job.
The president, in his own words, saying that he believes he will not be impeached. I think for our audience purpose, we should note the importance of the policy implications of impeachment. Democrats for now, including top Democrats on Capitol Hill, such as Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat from California, have said that the president has increasingly put himself in quote-unquote legal jeopardy, but they have not called for impeachment. Should the Democrats take control of the House of Representatives after the midterm elections, that would, of course, become a much real question. But the issue of conviction is much more difficult as of now in a Republican-controlled Senate. And finally, I would note that all of this feels a bit premature until the release of the Mueller probe, because right now, as it stands, Democrats have truly held close to vest whether or not they support impeachment.
And very quickly, just a few seconds remaining, he also has something to say about an antitrust situation he sees developing.
Yes. So he has concerns in particular on Silicon Valley. He did not say whether or not he would specifically work to break up Google.
And also he included Facebook and Amazon in that. He's had some political things to say about Jeff Bezos as well.
yes, he was critical in the sense of Jeff Bezos, as he has been in the past. And with regards to Silicon Valley, the tech companies, he is now in lockstep with many Republicans who have criticized these tech companies. They feel that they're giving an unfair advantage to progressives and not providing an equal platform for conservative voices.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, who will be joining us through the morning on this exclusive Oval Office interview with President Donald Trump. S&P futures this morning virtually unchanged. Dow futures down by 7 points. NASDAQ futures up by 2 points. 10-year Treasury prices up to 30 seconds. The yield down to 2.8477%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. And again, a reminder, join us for Bloomberg Business of Sports. Just in time for the football season, we talk to the owner of the Atlanta Falcons and co-founder of Home Depot, Arthur Blank. You can hear it tonight at 8, tomorrow morning at 11 on Bloomberg Radio or on our Apple podcast.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European stocks are lower as President Trump steps up his tough talk on trade. In a Bloomberg exclusive, the president spoke of the European Union during an Oval Office interview as if it's likely to be his next target.
The European Union is almost as bad as China, just smaller.
Mr. Trump says the EU's recent offer to scrap tariffs on U.S. cars isn't enough.
He's also threatening to pull out of the World Trade Organization if it doesn't start treating the U.S. better.
I would say the WTO was the single worst trade deal ever made. And if they don't shape up, I would withdraw from the WTO.
Sources tell us the president also wants to move ahead with a plan to impose tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese products as soon as a public comment period concludes next week. And we'll have more on our exclusive interview with President Trump throughout the morning.
But first, let's catch you up on some of the other news stories we're watching. Negotiators for the United States and Canada will meet again this morning to resume their urgent talks to revamp the North American Free Trade Agreement.
In an interview with Bloomberg, Credit Suisse CEO Tidjane Thiam said client activity dropped in the past 2 months, but signaled optimism that his bank and the global economy will withstand escalating trade tensions.
Coca-Cola has agreed to buy the UK chain Costa Coffee for $5.1 billion as it steps into a battle with Starbucks.
Sources say WPP is preparing to name Mark Reed chief executive officer of the world's largest advertising firm as early as next week. He would succeed Martin Sorrell, who resigned in April amid misconduct allegations.
Shares of Lululemon are up more than 8%. The athletic clothing maker raised its full-year revenue and profit projections after beating sales forecasts in the second quarter.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change this morning, down 1.5 points. NASDAQ futures are down about the same. Dow futures down 18. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.8%. FTSE 100 down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 28 cents to $69.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7.60 to $12.1260 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1670, the British pound at $1.3011, and the yen 110.80. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:33 on Wall Street, Washington's farewell to a fallen hero. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. John McCain's body is back in Washington this morning, where he'll receive rare Capitol honors. McCain's body arriving back at Joint Base Andrews after a flight from Arizona last night. He'll be honored only as a few dozen other Americans lying in state at the U.S. Capitol today. Another memorial service will take place in Washington tomorrow, and then a private family burial at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. President Trump attended a rally in Evansville, Indiana last night. Trump attacked his own Justice Department and FBI leadership and implied Hillary Clinton could face criminal charges.
You can have the biggest story about Hillary Clinton. I mean, look at what she's getting away with, but let's see if she gets away with it. Let's see.
Trump campaigned for fellow Republican Mike Braun, who is challenging vulnerable Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly. Seven people were killed in New Mexico when a semi-truck collided head-on with a passenger bus on Interstate 40. Officer Ray Wilson with the New Mexico State Police explains what happened.
Initial investigation shows that a semi-truck was traveling eastbound on I-40 when it blew out a tire. The semi-truck then lost control, crossed over the center median.
Police say 48 people were on board the Greyhound bus. The impact sheared off the front of the bus. New Jersey will raise its per-gallon gasoline and diesel tax by 20% to help cover the $2 billion a year the state needs for transportation projects. The 4.3-cent per gallon increase to 26.9 cents will go into effect in October. According to data from the American Petroleum Institute, in all, state and federal per-gallon charges will total 59.72 cents, ninth highest among U.S. states. It's a victory for former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more from our 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
First and 10 for Kaepernick, an arbiter not dismissing the lawsuit, letting it stand. The crux that the league has colluded to prevent him from securing a new contract as a free agent. His taking a knee during the national anthem jump-started a national debate. He's claimed that comments made by the president and vice president discouraged teams from hiring him. A spokesman for the NFL declines to comment. It appears the suit will go on. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, much obliged. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees fell to the Tigers 8-7 in the Bronx to open a four-game weekend set. New York got a taste of their own medicine, watching Detroit launch five home runs. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 33rd in a losing cause. Tough night for both starters, Jay Happ and Detroit's Francisco Liriano. Both went 4 1/3 innings, allowing five runs. While the Red Sox hammer the White Sox, so the lead is back to 8.5 in the East. Yankees still lead the A's for the first wild card by 4.5 games. Tonight, Luis Severino tries to right the ship when he faces Jordan Zimmerman. New York later added a veteran presence in the clubhouse, trading with the Giants for former NL MVP outfielder Andrew McCutchen. Mets were off, traveling to San Francisco. They open a three-game set with the Giants. Andrew Suarez entertains Zach Wheeler, who came up as a Giant. First pitch at 10:15. NFL Jets lost 10-9 to the Eagles as quarterback Sam Darnold took the night off in the fourth and final preseason game. Coach Todd Bowles on the recent trade of Teddy Bridgewater to New Orleans.
It was a good deal. We loved Teddy. At the same time, we had three good quarterbacks. It was a good business deal for us and a good opportunity since we had three and we got good value back for it. You know, it was something we had to do.
Jets picked up a third rounder in 2019. Giants lost at home to the Patriots 17-12. It was a who's who for both teams as the three quarterbacks played were all distant backups and combined for 8 sacks and 4 interceptions. Giants host one of the best secondaries in the league when the Jags pay a visit. U.S. Open Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer advance while second-seeded Caroline Wozniacki was upset, so the top 2 seeds are gone on the ladies' side. Today, top-seed Rafael Nadal plays at 2 o'clock. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Bushka, thanks very much. We turn now to a conversation with Warren Buffett. The Berkshire Hathaway chairman sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin to talk stocks, banks, and his new healthcare venture with Amazon and J.P. Morgan. Here's part of what he had to say.
When the market's up this high, that means values have gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on a lot of cash, $110 billion. As a practical matter, don't we have to have more fear in the marketplace before you're really deploying a lot of that cash?
Well, I love it when there's, I don't love it for the country as a whole, but I mean, that creates prices that make me want to get the shovel out the money as fast as I can. But we've been shoveling out money anyway, and it's not as attractive as obviously when I was buying in 2008 and 2009, and that wasn't as attractive. 1974 was the best year for buying securities in my lifetime. That'll happen from time to time, but you can't sit around and wait for it. You're never going to catch the bottom anyway, and and everybody will be terrified at that time. We keep buying as long as we find something that's attractive to us, an attractive business at a reasonable price. And I love it if it's a really juicy price, but I still keep buying.
Healthcare, something you've been outspoken about. You are now involved in a joint venture with J.P. Morgan and Amazon to try to correct that. How are you going to bend that cost curve as a practical matter?
I wish I knew. The answer is get the smartest people we can working on it. And we've got a terrific leader on that. And basically give them free rein and just and not expect something is going to happen next year or the year after. I mean, this is a $3.3 trillion or something like that industry. And every dollar has a constituency, and it's got all kinds of factors that you can't just chip a little bit here and there. So we're not in a hurry, and we'd like to be in a hurry, but we're not going to try and do something faster than it can be done.
You're a terrific leader, Atul Gawande. What is he doing?
He's thinking, and he's hiring people. Not very many people, but he will be hiring people. He's been thinking all his life, but he is now focused on looking at the system and saying, is there a system that can check this growing tapeworm, which is now up to 18% of GDP and is growing every year and is way higher than any other country, and can we do that and at the same time deliver a better product for patients? It will not be a success if it's just a cost-cutting measure
Well, that's part of the question. When you try to bend the cost curve, you've got two options, really. You either spend less from what you're getting already or you get less. Those are the two options.
We will not do it unless a very substantial majority of the people feel they are going to be better off under what we are proposing. But you can spend smarter. You can spend smarter. And incidentally, throughout industry, we do spend smarter all the time. I mean, we are so much more efficient than 50 years ago at making cars or you name it. So it's not impossible to think smarter about something.
Warren Buffett also says he's adding to his large stake in Apple because, he says, of its devoted customers. S&P futures down 3 points. This is Bloomberg. And we look to the future in our weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are falling and U.S. stock index futures are pointing to a dip at the open following a downbeat session in Asia after President Trump stepped up his tough talk on trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3.5 points, Dow futures down 32, NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 2.84%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 46 cents to $69.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $7.90 to $12.1290 an ounce. The euro, $1.1671, the yen, 110.81. And today we're looking for a report on consumer sentiment out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And we continue to watch Lululemon. It's up 11% in early trading after raising its full-year revenue and profit projections after once again beating sales forecasts in the second quarter. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you, Karen. The late Senator John McCain is receiving a rare honor at the U.S. Capitol today. McCain will join 11 other presidents and celebrated Americans receiving the honor to lie in state in the U.S. Capitol. A deadly collision between a Greyhound bus and a semi-truck in New Mexico has left 7 people dead. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the A's. The Red Sox won. NFL preseason is done. In the final games last night, the Giants lost to the Patriots. Jets lost along with the 49ers. The Redskins down the Ravens. Raiders were winners. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, and Marin Cilic advanced. Today, Rafael Nadal and Juan Martín del Potro play their matches. For the women, Maria Sharapova advanced, but the number 2 seed Caroline Wozniacki lost. Today, Sloane Stephens faces Victoria Azarenka. The Williams sisters, Serena and Venus, play tonight. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're bringing you highlights all morning from our exclusive Oval Office interview with President Donald Trump. It was a wide-ranging conversation covering trade concerns with the EU and China, his criticism of interest rate hikes from the Fed, and the legal turmoil engulfing his presidency. Some of those legal woes involved the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, cooperating with prosecutors in their investigation into Michael Cohen. Mr. Trump tells us he doesn't think Weisselberg betrayed him.
He didn't.
Okay.
100%. He's a wonderful guy. It was a very limited little period of time.
Those were the first public comments from Trump about Weisselberg since news broke that he received immunity in the federal investigation into the finances of former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. At the same time, President Trump also addressed his longstanding tensions with the late Senator John McCain.
We had our disagreements, and they were very strong disagreements. I disagreed with many of the things that I assume he believed in. But with that being said, I respect his service to the country.
Let's get more on those and other comments from our exclusive interview with the president. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning once again. Let me start with that last remark. The president, I understand, is headed for Camp David as Washington mourns the loss of John McCain. On that topic, did he indicate any disappointment over not being a part of this official honor?
No, he was quite tight-lipped in terms of his relationship with the late Senator John McCain, whose memorial services will continue this weekend, as you noted, the president heading to Camp David. He declined to answer whether or not he believes Senator McCain would have made a better president than former President Barack Obama, the latter of whom is going to be giving one of the eulogies at Senator McCain's funeral. So, of course, they had a very tense relationship, President Trump and Senator McCain, to put it mildly. It's been well chronicled. The president had controversial, very, you know, universally panned comments about Senator McCain on the campaign trail. But the president largely has stayed out of these proceedings, much because the McCain camp has asked him to.
Kevin, I'm curious, all kinds of topics covered in this interview. What was your biggest takeaway?
For me, it was Attorney General Jeff Sessions having job security until November. It would indicate that the president, in addition to his comments about Mr. Weisselberg, one of the top folks at the Trump Organization, is taking a much more patient tone with regard to these investigations than perhaps his Twitter account and other public comments would indicate. That said, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, one of the first lawmakers to endorse the candidates Trump's presidential run, might not have a job after the midterms, and top Republicans on Capitol Hill, such as Senator Lindsey Graham and Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of South Carolina and Iowa, respectively, have indicated that they would be able to clear their calendars in order to get a new person confirmed.
One of the comments that perhaps most affected our audience is about the European Union. Mr. Trump saying the EU's offer to scrap tariffs on U.S. cars isn't enough. What more did he have to say about that?
He says not good enough of a deal. You'll remember back when the Germans had really kind of politely floated that they would be willing to lift all of the tariffs with regards to autos. The president says no deal. And it also comes as he has been critical in this interview with Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite, as well as our Margaret Talev and Jennifer Jacobs, where he says that the World Trade Organization, he might pull out of it if it's not better negotiated. This is in line with the populist rhetoric that we've seen from this president, from this administration. He's been critical of these types of deals. It also comes as he has $200 billion worth of tariffs ready to be imposed as early as next week against China. And it also comes as potentially there could be some type of breakthrough with NAFTA, whether it's a multilateral deal on Canada and Mexico, respectively, or a trilateral agreement with NAFTA. So very interesting trade developments in line with the populist criticism of the World Trade Organization.
And in response on the EU question, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says the EU is going to retaliate if President Trump raises tariffs on European autos. It sounded as though the president is ready to just keep this pressure up.
Yeah, there was a point in the interview where the president said that the Europeans are more interested in buying their own cars than U.S. cars. So it is interesting to see how he has really adopted an aggressive type of protectionist strategy with regards to trade with European allies.
Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thank you very much. Karen.
Thank you, Bob. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The conservative advocacy group Freedom Watch is suing Alphabet's Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Apple for allegedly conspiring to censor conservative political posts. Unions won fewer elections in the first half of this year, but added more members compared to the same period last year. That's according to a Bloomberg Law analysis of statistics from the National Labor Relations Board. And doctor groups and others want Medicare to scrap a proposal to revise payment rates for certain office visits next year, saying it would hurt access to care for the sickest patients.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at the legacy of White House counsel Don McGahn, who will be leaving his post later in the fall. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Dune Grosso speaks with William Banks, a professor at Syracuse University Law School.
Some top Republican leaders expressed disappointment at the departure, but there were strains in the relationship with Trump. What does this tell you about Trump and what's important to him?
Well, I think there have been strains. Now it's well over a year since McGahn threatened to resign if Trump fired Mueller, or if he insisted that Attorney General Sessions not recuse himself. I think that McGahn could read the political tea leaves far better than the president. He also knew, of course, the legal bounds for what the president might do. So I think the president here is he's happy to see Mr. McGahn go in some ways, because McGahn speaks truth to power. He pushed back against the president on many occasions. And Trump has increasingly let people go who are not willing to just go along with his gut instincts.
McGahn also helped shepherd a lot of federal judicial nominees in the conservative mold through the courts and through the process, and has managed to help Mitch McConnell present a more conservative federal judiciary.
I think that's right, and I think, you know, you could say that McGahn is probably responsible for one of the single most effective initiatives of the Trump presidency. The conservative judges now, there are about 60 appointees, I believe, since Trump took office, and McGahn has been very smart, very strategic, and very inclusive in terms of finding the candidates for judgeships that will both be appropriately conservative and be appealing to the senators who need to vote yes. So that's going to be a legacy, I think, that he will enjoy. That's why Senators McConnell and Grassley and others are so troubled by his departure.
That's Syracuse University Law School Professor William Banks speaking with Bloomberg student Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures down about 8. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year 2.64%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.